Hey, that's good music right there. The fact that that's, you know what I'm saying? That's actually really well done.
Their soundtrack's amazing. That's what I got from that lore thing.
Is it Hans Zimmer, right?
And Steve Vai, by the way. You know Steve Vai's on that soundtrack? Anyway, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Brick. You've caught us in the middle of a conversation there. Now, this podcast, Story Brick, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. My name is Freddie Wong, and I wish I could play three power chords and get paid like Steve Vai does. No, he's great. Steve Vai's amazing.
I'm Will Campos. Hello there. Or should I say, halo there.
Fuck.
Hi, I'm Forerunner Matthew. Welcome to my group, Forerunner Will and Forerunner Freddie. Shall we do this?
Before we get into this week's episode, this is week four of the Max Fun Drive. So thank you, by the way, if you've already donated, if you've already supported the network, exporting the shows. It's some wild times right now. And Max Fun Drive is a demonstration of what we can do when we come together. And I think that's worth celebrating right now. We want to take this opportunity to come together as a community of tens of thousands of people around the world who rely on each other to make magical stuff happen. Max Fun, if you want to join, it's really easy. It's MaximumFun.org/join. You'll see all the different levels and all the thank you gifts that you have on offer with each tier. No matter what tier you pledge at, you get all the great bonus content, which is a ridiculously
it's
large
huge.
Playlist. Of
it's even
bonus.
Longer than the library level in the first
nice.
Halo game.
Nice.
That's how big this library of content is. How's that for a reference, guys? How's that
good.
For a poll? The one Halo thing I know.
Yeah, at $5 a month, you get access to that insanely large library.
Only it's a lot more fun than that level. That's a notoriously bad level.
True.
No one likes
true.
That level. But everyone loves a huge library of bonus content. You're on lockdown. You got time. Listen to all this good stuff.
All of the bonus Story Break episodes, all the bonus content for all of the other Max Fun shows as well. It really is quite a bit of great listening just in that alone. What do you get at $10 a month, Matt?
At $10 a month, you get to choose a cool enamel pin from your favorite show. Ours is, of course, the best one. Ours is Shark Cops and Trucks, an incredible design.
It's a shark roaring while driving a truck. Like, come on. It's a shark cop driving a truck. Come on.
Incredible. Incredible. The moment I get mine, it's going on my cool bag, and it's going to be 10 times cooler because I have Shark Cops and Trucks on it. And at $20 a month, you get the Max Fun custom game pack with Max Fun dice in a velvet bag with the Rocket logo and a deck of custom Max Fun playing cards with podcast-inspired designs. Freddie, what's our design on it? Is it cool?
Our design is the fact that you can pharaoh it and do all kinds of great moves with these cards. I tested them, all you cardistry folks.
They're legit?
Yeah, they're legit.
Magic Castle approved?
Just really quick, just say that there's basically two kinds of playing cards. There's playing cards that you can't do all this cool stuff with, which are like kind of plasticky coated ones. And I literally was like, I don't know if I want to endorse these if they're those. They're not. They're awesome. They got nice smooth finish. You can do all the various tricks, spreads, pharaoh shuffles, LaPaul spreads, you name it, you got it. It's all good. All
whoa,
this and
Freddie,
more maximum.
Freddie, they can do LaPaul spreads? Are you kidding
no
me?
No way.
Sold. Yeah, dude, not only can you do a left-handed LaPaul spread and a right-handed LaPaul spread, dude, you're not even going to believe it, man. You're going to be able to anti-pharaoh these.
Wow.
You don't even know what that means, but trust me, it's a big deal.
It sounds like it has the word Antifa in it. Is that, are these cards,
Antifa
are these
row.
Cards socialists,
no.
Freddie? Is that what you're saying? Are these cards socialists?
There's only one way to find out, and that's by going to MaximumFun.org/join.
And spend your cold, hard, capitalist money.
On supporting local podcasts, you know, and homegrown, artist-owned, independent art. And that's what you
wow.
can spend your money on. So it is like, you know.
If we learn anything from this, it's that politics is complicated.
All right, let's get into Halo. This week, everyone's favorite Xbox video game, Halo. I don't know what we're getting into. There's so much. This is such a thick boy.
No, we took this seriously. We got together and we said, we're going to take Halo seriously. And we pulled up a 3-minute YouTube video that explained the entire lore of 5 beloved video games in about 3 minutes. So I think we're good to go. I think we got this.
You want to explain our angle on Halo, Freddie?
That's true.
Specifically, Halo is like obviously way too big. You know, I mean, you might as well be like, might as well do the Bible or something. No. We're going to focus instead on a central figure. Right. And then this central figure is going to be
I think the star of the new game, right?
Yeah, the star of the new game, Craig.
Craig the Brute.
Craig, not Master Chief. That's not the name of the Master Chief. Craig is the name of the Brute that's been memed to death as a result of the Xbox E3 presentation this last year. Very funny memes coming out of that.
Do you want to explain? Yeah, what is Craig? Fill in the audience, because my parents are already like, what the fuck is Halo? And now, we got to explain Craig.
Will's parents at all. Here's the deal. All right, Microsoft makes a video game console. It's called the Xbox. It's like their flagship home entertainment console. Halo is this beloved series, and back in the day when they first launched it, it was a big deal. It sold Xboxes. Bill Gates, yeah, there's like a picture of Bill Gates selling the first copy of Halo and like an Xbox to someone at Best Buy. This is a big deal for Microsoft. So cut to many, many years later, 2020, E3, a new Xbox is coming out. Everyone's on the edge of their seats because everyone thinks there's a new Halo coming out along with it. It has become this game that defines the system in the same way Mario defines Nintendo, et cetera, et cetera. This gameplay video starts and everyone's a little bit like, okay, all right, this looks a little bit janky. It doesn't quite, you know, look as clean and as slick and as next gen as kind of the stuff that Sony's been doing. And everyone's a little disappointed. Then a thing drops down from the sky. An enemy, a brute shows up. This is an enemy we've seen in some of the games of the past. The player in this video runs up to the enemy and hits it. And there's a very unfortunate freeze frame in that moment where we get a big close look at this enemy that's on this next generation hardware. And it looks very much like a video game 10 years ago. And thus lights the internet ablaze at people making fun of this very janky looking, sort of like gorilla-esque kind of creature. Like, yeah, I would say, right, a hairless gorilla. And broadly, Halo is a sci-fi space game. We have humans. We all travel around space. Master Chief, which is like the Halo mascot. You see him on the cover of the games. The space marine guy with the helmet. You never see his face. He's like a big, tall, human, super soldier, basically. So he's basically fighting for our side. We're fighting against these sort of like, I guess, how would you describe them? Like, sort of not generically alien, but like, you know.
I think generically the alien orcs. Pretty well describes it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, kind of space aliens, but they're so, and it's a mix of different types of like space aliens that we fight. That's kind of the main conflict. And then on top of all of this, there's this thing called the Flood, which is just like a parasitic insect sort of race that is constantly threatening everything. So that's kind of the
a mindless horde.
Three parties involved. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
It's okay, guys. You can stop describing because my parents stopped listening.
Okay. Oh, good, I think this will help, one, Will's parents understand it, but also I think kind of throw us into how this can work. So if you don't know Halo, everybody knows Lord of the Rings. It's like Lord of the Rings. You got humans, but instead of horse humans, you got space humans. Instead of,
I can't wait to see where this shit's going. Hold on. Well, let's give them a little space here. To,
you know, instead of orcs, uh-huh. You got the Covenant, right? And in Halo, the orcs, you find out some orcs are also good guys or bad guys. But right, you got two big species that are fighting, and then they got, like, you remember the spider in Lord of the Rings? Well, there's a lot of spiders.
God. Oh, Jesus.
There's a
Christ,
lot of spiders
so
in Halo, right?
You are not helping, Matt.
That helps super well. So, the brute Greg is like a big orc. It's just an orc. This is a big orc that tried to attack.
Yeah.
It's a space orc that tried to attack Aragorn in the trailer and he died. Okay.
So basically, just to put a button on this, Craig became this adorable meme because no one, and there's nothing the internet loves more than like a big sad boy. And like, yeah. Craig is just this like lovable looking, like kind of janky soldier that's about to get his head blown off by Master Chief, who's the behelmeted, murderous psychopath at the core of these games. So the internet ran away with Craig. Craig became the internet's new boyfriend. Everyone loves Craig, the big dumb space orc that wants to kill Aragorn Master Chief. And so our thought was like, maybe the Craig movie. Like, maybe we cash in on that viral gold right now and we get out of these Craig memes.
I feel like it's Warhorse, but with Craig.
Go on.
What?
That's all. It's
what?
Just like,
wait.
It feels like, here's what I get from that gameplay clip. If we're going to make Craig the main character, mm-hmm. It feels like he's just like a poor, dumb soldier just thrown into a dropship. The dropship falls to the planet at like 100,000 miles per hour. It explodes open and he's already in the middle of combat. He takes 6 steps forward and is finding himself fighting the superhero. I feel like he gets knocked out And he's just so bewildered. It's just this poor creature. I feel like we see the world of Halo through this poor brute's eyes, and he just wants to go home or something.
I will say that I think you've tapped onto like what I think is so compelling about Craig, because it is like if you put yourself in Craig's shoes, it's very funny. Like you're this orc, you've traveled the universe, you've trained in your army. Like you probably like, yeah, I'm gonna be one of these badass space mercenaries. We're kicking butt, and then you drop down, your dropship pops open. Your friend gets his head blown off in about a split second, and then you are face to face with like the baddest motherfucker in the universe. You're Mr. Halo himself. You literally get out of your ship and you're already staring at Master Chief. You had no fucking chance whatsoever. And then you just run towards him, and then he just you're just the universe's punchline at that point. There is just something very pathos inspiring about that.
Well, it's also the freeze frame they get, the freeze frame that became a meme.
Sad.
He looks sad. He doesn't look angry. It's not like a freeze frame and an angry orc.
He looks just vaguely docile. Yeah,
he's not like ready to kill you.
That's what's incredible about it, because it literally, and I didn't realize the context of this until I saw the video, but it is literally like he is in melee face-to-face combat fighting for his life, and his expression is just like this sad, placid, like, I acknowledge my fate.
It's this very neutral, pursed lip, kind of like, it's a very neutral expression.
It's a real Mona Lisa smile kind of moment.
You expect snarling teeth and spit coming out and like angry eyes, but it's just
like another day at the office for him, really.
Well, is it another day at the office, or like, did he want to be there? Like, what's the... Okay, so he doesn't die, obviously, unless we make this the end of the movie, and it's all about this tragedy leading up to his eventual death.
That's definitely one angle. I'll put that out there for sure.
Okay, that's pretty
record
good.
Scratch, freeze
you
frame.
Essentially do Saving Private Ryan. Mm-hmm. It is like a straightforward, serious, like you're following these orcs, these brutes into their dropships, like some of them are thrown up, and their guy's like, hey, we got this, we'll take down Master Chief, and it's just like all your budget spent on this. It's like the beginning of freaking Enemy at the Gates, right? It is like this cool sequence. It flies down. Your main character Craig is like, you set up whatever it is, he wants to go home, he's scared and he's got nowhere to go, he's befuddled. You got that same Private Ryan like tinnitus going ee! And he sees Master Chief and he just like, his face goes blank, he goes oh, and then it stops. And that's me. And you go back to, and then you see Craig's life as this little cute brute who's like had a tough time.
Yep,
you know,
that's
kicked
me.
Out of school.
DreamWorks is Craig. Has anyone done a meme yet where they Photoshop like the little like mischievous eyebrow arch from all of the DreamWorks posters onto Craig? That'd be pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's one angle for sure. You could do essentially this guy's life, and then the question is whether or not he's going to survive this moment with Master Chief, which of course the answer is no, because Master Chief essentially has murdered more of his people like than anybody.
We're 5 games into Halo.
Yeah.
More than 5.
We're lots of Halos.
Here's what's extremely funny is there is definitely no way Craig does not know who Master Chief is.
Yeah, no,
right?
He knows.
Like, this is basically going to be the boogeyman to...
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, this is like
no,
the Red
everybody
Baron.
Everybody knows Master Chief at this point.
Yeah. Everyone knows Master Chief, right? So, like, literally, can you fucking imagine? You come out of this ship and it's the first thing you see is the guy.
It's over.
No.
It's over.
Way.
Sorry, Craig. You lost.
No way.
All
That's
right.
So good.
So, essentially, there's two angles. It's either that, where you're essentially
That's
going
so
to this moment in the end, or you do. That, you know, if you play Halo and you're, especially when you're doing some speed runs, you know, you definitely use your melee and sometimes, you know, you could buy that he knocks the guy out.
Mm-hmm.
So you could
on.
Also do that brute is alive. Craig is alive, and then you're following after this moment.
Yeah, it could be. Now, to be clear, now I'm pulling up the Halo fandom wiki.
Okay.
The brutes are the Jiralhanae, known by humans as brutes, but they're members of the Covenant, a large bipedal giant ape-like species from Doysak. The Jiralhanae have been part of the Covenant since before the destruction, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so there's a little article here. If you want to
Well, here's
out.
The thing that's interesting. It seems like in Halo Infinite, they're part of the Banished, which is a mercenary group, which you can get, like, rather than, like, being, like, just, like, a soldier or kind of, like, a religious fanatic in, like, Halo 2 or whatever. It's, like, the fact that he's a mercenary could also imply that, I mean, it's not implied. It's like he's doing this for money, right?
Yeah.
So you can make that as selfish as you want or as, you know, necessity. Like, he's, like, a guy who's joined a mercenary because he needs to... He needs to pay for his family back home or whatever.
Does he just get his like clock rocked by Master Chief and he's like, I'm done with war? Like, what's the, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the journey of our character here?
I mean, yeah, it could be. I mean, if Craig the Brute is just trying to pay for a little mini Craig Jr.'s schooling back at whatever the planet you said was.
BU at Brute University.
At Brute University, at BU. And he, you know, gets knocked out by Master Chief. I mean, yeah, then you can get the conflict. Is it like if he's ever goes back, he's going to be seen as...
I feel like he's got to get smoked by Master Chief, guys. I'm not saying that that's the angle. I feel like it is like Master Chief is death, right? To these guys, right? Like he is the god of death. Like how many of these fucking goons has Master Chief killed? And it's like, I feel like you don't like... If the beginning of the movie is he gets his bell rung by Master Chief, I'm like, what am I watching as an audience member now? Like,
well, he's got to build back up to another title fight with the Master Chief himself.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and it's not like Master Chief like didn't beat him or he like got away from Master Chief. It's like from Master Chief's point of view, he's just like he's shooting and like swinging an axe and just like knocking dudes left and right and just leaving a battlefield in his wake. The fact that a few of them are like on the ground wounded, dying doesn't bother him. Like it's not like warriors literally have 100% success rate on murdering every single individual they're fighting. It's like this one brute that, you know, again, the way you showed that he's powerful is like Master Chief doesn't think anything of him. Like he kills six people. He knocks Craig. Craig goes flipping down a ravine, and Master Chief continues his death spree, murdering an entire, you know, platoon.
There's also a version of this that is like, imagine a Full Metal Jacket type movie where the first half of the movie is about Craig pre-MC, so to speak. And then like the second half, like it's him in brute training and like, you know, his life as a single father and, you know, all this other stuff. And then he goes to war and then he gets dunked on by the chief at like your midpoint. And then like your second half is dealing with the fallout of it or something.
I can see that.
I can see that.
I was like, oh, I'm going to learn about this faction, the Banished, and I need a 3-minute lore explainer just for this one Halo faction. I cannot believe how dense the lore is of this game. I was literally just scrolling and then I found a section called Yap Yap's Rebellion. I want to know about Yap Yap the Destroyer, who rebelled against the Banished with his subordinates and intended to locate the fabled golden methane hydrate mines of Saboteur.
Oh boy, that's wild.
How about Craig's a mechanic?
Okay, go on.
He gets pushed into the pod. The drop pod gets launched without him realizing it gets launched. He's like, oh no!
You either do that or you do his weakness is something like a bad temper or whatever, and like at first it's great because he's not put on the front lines, he's a good mechanic, but then like he has some problem with like a superior and then his temper gets loose and like he knocks the guy out and then he finds himself punished by like going on the infantry line, and then it's like kind of like his sin that he's down there. But then you can get like, I don't know, because the world's an open world game, I just imagine that if he does survive it's all about him just like having to fix broken warthogs like cruising around this planet like trying to find a way back up to his homeland without, again, I feel like he'd be killed as a deserter, so it's like now he's got no allies on the ground, right? It's essentially like Red Badge of Courage style.
No. I think I know what you're saying. Like having him be like truly a fish out of water, not just a soldier who just is not, you know, drew a bad lot, but really someone in the army itself, and like being found in a position they don't want to be in, running into the biggest badass alive, right? That's definitely a way to go, for sure.
I mean, if he was like not the goofy charmer that he is, like it would definitely be like it's just a revenge story of like this brute is going to like work out across this planet tracking down Master Chief to kill him, but like he just looks too adorable, so it feels like it's a guy who doesn't want to fight.
Do we know anything? Like I know the plot of Halo Infinite is like not well known other than that the Banished are the bad guys, right?
Yes.
But do we know like in that scene, like what the context of that scene is, like what's Master Chief doing on that planet? What is going on in the moments around Craig? Like what is the plot of the fucking, at least the cutscene at the beginning?
We took a little pause to see if we could find out more about the Halo Infinite storyline. There's not a lot. They're keeping it tight, you know, keeping it close to their chest. But the Halo Infinite demo does have this intro where there's this pilot and he's waiting for orders or whatever. And he's pulling up like a hologram of his kid being like, I miss you, like daddy, you know, letting you know it's a big, serious, big boy game with serious drama. We're like, look at this guy. He's so sad. He's so sad before you get your big guns and shoot everybody. So it's doing that sort of thing, you know, letting you know it's a big, serious game that's worth spending $60 on, that you're not just a child playing with your toys. But anyways, so it's doing that. What if, this is cheesy, but what if you essentially do Groot,
the exact same hacky move you just made fun of, but for our character, so it's cool.
No, but Craig meets that guy And then you get like, I don't know if you ever saw No Man's Land about the, I think it's the Serbian War, a lot more serious movie.
Oh, Jesus. But you get like an enemy mine thing. Oh,
yes, God. But not literally the enemy mine, but you could do that. He falls and like he finds a human. Like this guy who's just a pilot, again, he just wants to go home. He's just flying this thing because, like, that's one way to make this not like a pro-war either way movie. It's just you do like it's
two
just
people
two
who
men.
Want to get home, and they're on the battlefield.
Two men on opposite sides who both have the same desire. He's a mechanic. He's a pilot.
Yeah, it has like a 1917-esque kind of like. That's actually not a bad.
The pilot knows where like a broken down ship is, and then this guy, this brute,
we flew
can't
over
fix it
on the way in.
Yes, and then the two of them have to work together.
Okay,
and can they trust each other? And they start learning about each other as they both learn. They got kids back home who cry and say, "I love you, Daddy." And they both go, "We were the same. We both have kids."
You are literally describing the exact plot of the movie Enemy Mine. You guys realize that, right?
Enemy Mine.
Enemy Mine. It was a sort of remake of the Toshirô Mifune Lee Marvin movie called Hell in the Pacific, but Enemy Mine is about an alien
and a human,
on opposite sides of a war who befriend each other and have to learn to survive together. So that's
Craig, and they got a 59% on Metacritic, so we have a chance to make this baby fresh. Oh, they got 61 on Rotten Tomatoes. Damn, they already have a fresh movie about that.
So that's the only thing I have to say about that. Not that we can't do
it.
It seems like this guy is like Master Chief's buddy through the game. Like, isn't he? Like, I'm clicking through.
No.
Like,
no. Really?
Probably, I don't know. He's probably like, you know who he is. He plays the role of guy in your ear who gives you mission objectives. It's like, Chief, we need you to activate the three relays.
He doesn't die.
Across.
Like, he's teaming up with Master Chief.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I'm not saying it's literally that exact character.
Oh, I thought you were saying it's that exact character.
I mean,
you're saying
yeah,
some
I just
guy.
Meant like a pilot.
Some
yeah,
person.
Just another
yes.
human, and then they got to make it to a ship. I mean, I don't know what the story of Enemy Mine is, but that's not the most original story ever. There's the idea of two people opposite sides working together.
So just to maybe, because this will knock something loose, I pulled two quotes from an article I found about this game. So the one is, this is some teaser dialogue from the Banished leader, War Chief Iscarim, who's the leader of the Banished on this Halo ring, who appears to be the main antagonist. He's connected to the Banished in a fundamental way. So this is his quote. "The hour approaches, our forces occupy the ring. Within hours, it will all be under our control. Humanity will burn, their brazen defiance will be all but a memory. No more prophets, no more lies. We stand together, brothers to the end. We are his will, we are his legacy, we are the Banished." So I'm guessing it's probably that guy Atriox is that we are his will and his legacy.
He's the original like leader.
So we're like Gen 2 leader. And it feels like we're talking about kind of like a The Rock kind of situation where like Chief comes in and the Banished have already taken over this Halo, right? And they're going to blow it. Because essentially, to explain what a Halo is to everybody, without getting into a whole bunch of lore, the Halo is a big space ring that people live on that has like cool, it looks cool. It's a lot of places to do sick jumps on Jeeps. But the whole thing is it was built by super duper ancient aliens and it has like the power to blow up like a universe or something.
It just
right?
eradicates like, life. Yes. It's like the reset switch. They're like when your house gets like black mold. The Halo was the way of being like, look, we'll burn down the whole house. We're going to keep the DNA of all the other races so we can start life over. This is a last resort weapon to get rid of the aforementioned insect infestation that we talked about earlier.
And I'm assuming the Banished probably either have a way that it doesn't kill the Covenant and just humans, or they have...
Or maybe they don't care.
Or they don't care. They're just going to wipe out everybody because they have their home planets far enough away or
which
whatever.
Which is, by the way, really similar to the plot of Halo 1.
But yeah, I mean, all the... Like, I mean,
what you're describing here.
I mean, nice is, you got a big old bomb and then bad guys are going to blow it up and you got to stop them, right? It's about
Frey, how
good.
Many stories can you tell when you got a big gun in front of you and you got to go shoot aliens? Like... It's going to be the aliens are going to blow you up somehow.
Sorry.
I mean, Halo 2 was pretty cool, though. Just so the Halo fans don't call me out, it's pretty cool that you got to play the Covenant in Halo 2.
Halo is one of those games where I've always loved playing through them, and then I forget about them the moment they're over.
Yeah.
All right.
But remember, we're doing Craig.
Okay, so Craig. But just to put that in context, it seems like Craig's boys are already here, right? Like,
they've taken
over the thing. Craig is in on this mission to commit space genocide and wipe out humanity, right? So that's like... That's not nothing. You got to unpack that a little bit.
But I mean, he seems bummed. I mean, I'm not saying,
but
it's, you know,
so
it's like,
bummed out.
He seems
like people are just soldiers.
Yes.
Like, I mean, again, I'm not justifying various soldiers on certain sides of wars, but it's like, it seems like this is, if you were to team up with a human or anybody else, like that human would probably have some pretty strong words about what he thinks about what the brutes are doing. Right. And Craig would have to be like, well, I'm just following orders. I'm just trying to help my family. He's like, what about my family? Have you seen my hologram of my little girl who cries and says, Daddy, I miss you. Do you want to look at that sort of thing?
or
I think it's time for a break. I think when we come back, we'll pick a direction of either this is going to be the end of the movie, we have Craig's life leading up to it, or we're going to have to figure out what Craig does on this planet.
Yes.
Yeah, we have to pick a direction.
When we come back, we forward unto dawn.
All right, Halo, oh, man. Craig.
Finish the fight, gentlemen.
Craig Lowe. Let's time to finish the fight, boys. Craig Lowe, what's going on?
Did we decide which way we're going? Sorry.
No, that's what we have to do right now. We're deciding our direction. Three roads diverged within a wood. And the first one was the movie ends with Craig getting shot, and it's just hit. You know what? That's obvious. That's like a fucking
walk away from it.
Come on, we get it. Oh, wow. It really makes you think about war.
Wow, space war sucks. Really? That's the fucking conclusion you came to? Wow, what's it like? Killing things in space is bad. Wow, what a movie. Thank God we made a movie for that.
Okay, so Craig, our boy, is going to survive this hit from Master Chief. What do we want to know about Craig as a character? Because that doesn't mean the movie literally needs to start in this moment. We can still get a little bit of who Craig is.
I think here's what we do with Craig. I think Craig, like, we start with this endearing, like, hey, like, oh, Craig, you just, like, you know, he seems like a lovable guy, right? Like, oh,
he's fixing
sleepers.
A tricycle for a little brute because he's a mechanic.
And then he's like, fucking, you know, he's like, just all, he's not the guy. Like, again, on the Halo, he's like the guy sweeping up and, like, you know, making sure everyone's staying safe and giving them chili soup and stuff like that, whatever brutes eat. And then, and like, they're like, oh shit, everything's like fucking Master Chief is here, we gotta go, go, go. He's like, oh my god, Master Chief, I don't know if I want to deal with that. And then he gets thrown in the thing and he stumbles out and he gets his bell rung by Master Chief, and then Master Chief is going off to blow up the Halo and do whatever he's doing in the game to stop the brutes, right? And then, like,
oh, that's good.
Can I pitch, like, I feel like it's a story about a guy who's like, you know, he doesn't think of himself as a Nazi, but these guys are committing genocide, right? Like, he's gotta unpack that. He's gotta deal with the fact that he's a bad guy. Right. And he's
so maybe you do. Will this be kind of like the Jar Jar thing? Like, not exactly, but like maybe it's like he starts with a selfish thing, which is like he knows Master Chief's going to blow up the Halo or whatever. And like all of his friends are on it. And then like by the end, he realizes that like it's the Mitchell and Webb. By the end, he realizes he's the baddie. Like, you know, the Halo's bad and he helps destroy it because he doesn't want to commit genocide. Like, he wants to be the man, or he wants to be the brute that his kids, you know, remember. He'd rather his kids remember him as a hero than him come home as a murderer, you know?
Yes. Dang.
Dang, right? Dude.
Dang, dude.
Dang, dude. It really makes you think, you know, about space wars and lasers. But no, that's cool. Like, I'd fucking be down for that.
Okay, so let's just pick it. We're going with that direction.
Yeah,
okay.
I like that.
So,
let's go with that.
Craig is, cannot believe we're fucking doing an hour-long thing about this meme. This gamer meme. What have we been reduced to?
Hey, let's stick to our foundations. Let's go back to basics. Here we go. Act one, mechanic on a spaceship, not a fighter, but what's his deal? What does he want? Why is he doing this? Why doesn't he realize that, you know, his species are genocidal?
He wants to just contribute. He wants to help out, you know? He wants to feel like he's a useful cog in the machine. Sometimes that machine is geared towards genocide, but he doesn't know that right now.
He's just focused on what's forward. He's focused on what's in front of him.
Yeah.
Right? He's the guy under the car. And he's like, hey, dad, look. And like, even with his kids, he's just like focused on the job at hand. He was raised that way. Just do it. He doesn't think outside the box. Or that's not exactly the framing, but like, you know, he doesn't.
He fixes things. He likes fixing things, right?
Yeah,
that's always a good metaphor. And then they're like, yeah, but you can't fix this, Jack. You're a surgeon, but you can't save everyone. Sorry, but I watched a lot of Lost recently.
But yes.
Okay.
And he's like, wow, the Halo. I can't wait to see this cool piece of alien tech. Maybe I can fix it.
So he's.
What if he fixes the big mean gun to shoot love instead?
All right. Okay, so Craig, he's a mechanic. He's a mercenary. Okay, he's not a combat mercenary, but he's a guy who works for the bad guys, right? So he is going to maybe, unless you're going to do like that, he always has wanted to be like a soldier, right? Like he's always wanted to be a hero.
We just did that with Assassin's Creed.
Shit, we just did that. Man.
Wait. Okay, hear me out. Hear me out just real quick. Before we go too deep into it, just hear me out for an ending here, okay?
Okay.
Craig, he gets onto the thing. He gets his bell rung. He like realizes what the Halo does because he's a mechanic, and he realizes that's going to like send this pulse to kill all life, but he doesn't want to do that. So he manages to figure, he teams up, whatever, he gets to it, and he like reverse engineers it so that instead of killing killing everything, it seeds more life into the universe. And so, like, it hits, and Master Chief's like, no! And then Craig steps up from down the shadows. He's like, don't you see, Master Chief? I forgive you. You punched me really bad, like, 2 hours ago. But now, because of me, there's more life in the universe. And then they hug it out, and it's an awesome movie about friendship.
Sure.
And Master Chief goes like, dang, you're right. Maybe I don't need to shoot and punch everybody I see. And, like, Master Chief learns a lesson, too, about the power of love.
Okay, so that could be one way. Here's my pitch for the ending. Is you could do, I mean, it's, Frasier's is funnier. This will just be cliche, but maybe this is functional. The final thing could be the last moment is he literally finds himself at a wounded Master Chief with a broken warthog who's has, right? He's coming to Master Chief on his final, the last level of the game.
Oh,
you know, the countdown,
yeah.
3 minutes. He's got to get
fix his warthog.
And he decides to fix it because he realizes what Master Chief has done. And as the warthog goes flying off, he has, you know, whatever. He's found a way to, like, calls his wife, kind of like the end of SPL or whatever, mm-hmm. Killzone, the Sammo Hung movie. And he, mm-hmm. like, calls his wife as the warthog's going off in the distance, and he's preparing for the fact that the moment Master Chief gets there, he's going to blow up because the halo's going to blow up.
It's kind of jacked up that Master Chief doesn't give him a fucking ride.
Well, he's wounded. I would do that. He's, like, wounded. And, like, his final act is to repair his warthog.
Yeah, let's hear me out. This is even more cynical. But you would do, like, Master Chief, like, he knows, because, like, Master Chief's, like, unconscious, or, like, Master Chief's like, he knows that Master Chief's probably gonna kill him the second that Master Chief sees him, right? Like, he's not gonna be able to explain. So it's literally like he tearfully
like
fixes the warthog, and then Master Chief comes around the corner and then just sees him and blasts him and then fucking hops in and drives up.
He wakes him up. He chooses to die. He fixes the warthog and he slaps Master Chief awake. Master Chief, his visor turns back on. He sees the countdown's 40 seconds and he sees a brute in front of him.
Yeah, he just shoots him. Yeah.
He shoots him and then peels off at like 100 miles per hour. And then he has Craig with a sad face just sits there. But then for the first time, Craig smiles.
A big old smile on his face.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay,
right.
That's a good ending.
That's a good ending. We got a good ending. Yeah. We're grooving. We're getting there. We're flying. All right. So that's what we're building up to. Craig the mechanic is going to fix the warthog and then get mirthlessly just sort of like passed stoically iced by Master Chief, who's going to just hop back into his big dumb warthog and go blow up the fucking umpteenth aliens.
Okay, really quick. You punch zoom on the smile. It's like this really tender moment. The music's soaring and there's like his face is watching as you just hear. Obviously, you're staring at his face so you don't see the warthog. You hear the warthog rumbling off in the distance and he smiles. And then all of a sudden you hear the warthog like shift gears. Runs backwards over just to double up, just to make sure he's gone. Anyways, okay.
All right.
Stupid gag. Okay.
So our beginning. So act one is like the inciting incident is, oh shit, Master Chief's here, right?
And he's like, I'll never help Master Chief.
And then at the end, he does help Master Chief.
What a complex arc.
He's like a picture of Master Chief in his locker, and he like crumples it up. He's like, okay, I hate Master Chief.
I'd never help that guy.
Hell, Master Chief, I'd rather be dead. And they're like, yeah, and they high five, you got it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, us too. None of us like Master Chief. That's
Master
why we're all.
Master Chief killed my brother. Yeah, he sucks. I'll never help Master Chief. That guy's the pits. I'm never gonna help him no matter what. And then like if random aliens like, well, I don't know, Craig, you know, sometimes you gotta
his father's like, son, Craig, you got a gift. You can fix any vehicle. You gotta use it to help people. Anybody who needs your help, you use it. He goes, you're right, Dad, but you know who I'll never help? You know who I'll never use my gift for?
Our sworn enemy of our race, Master Chief, who's killed countless millions of our people. You're right. Everyone but him. And then his dad, like, fucking gives a big high five on the sunset of their... As the sun sets of their fucking home planet of like Dorthai or whatever the fuck it's called. And that's his like fucking wakes up from that dream and he's like, God, my dad was right. Alright. Then the fucking they're like, oh no, Master Chief is here. And he's like, Master Chief, I hate that guy. Let's go. And he gets like thrown into the drop pod, he falls down, he sees Master Chief. Master Chief punches him really hard and he fucking like gets knocked out like in the movie 1917.
Okay. And then let him keep going, man. He's gonna do the whole movie. movie. He's got it. He's got the flow. He's in the zone.
Okay. And then he wakes up, and he wakes up like in the movie 1917 that's dark now, and he's like, he hears like on the klaxon, like, warning, Master Chief is going to kill everyone. You got everyone evacuate the Halo. He's like, oh, fuck, I knew it. How does this, but here's my question, Matt, how does this complex, beautifully drawn three-dimensional character go from hating Master Chief to loving him and fixing his car?
There is something I like about if he just goes pure brute and pure stupid, where it's just like, okay, what?
So Freddy just perfectly laid out the front head of the movie, right? Like the, you just do all of that, you know, maybe a little less absurd, but then you would do, what about this? Like he gets his bell rung, he realizes Master Chief's here to blow up the whole dang thing and stop them from doing their big mission. So the Halo, right, like has the DNA of like a bunch of people in it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's got a bunch of fucking sperm.
It's got planet sperm for like a bunch of different people and races and whatnot. So yeah, like,
it's like the seed bag.
He's like, I can't take on Master Chief by myself. I need to find the DNA sperm of the guy. I need cum. He says, I need the DNA of like all these. I need to bring all these great warriors back that are like stored in this Halo. So like he downloads like a fucking like a squad of all these badasses and he's going to help them fight and take down Halo Man.
No,
but then
I like that he has that idea and then he fights his way to the Halo DNA place. And then he just sits there and he just stares at all these capsules at a computer. And he goes, I don't know what I was thinking. What? Like he just can make a clone in 5 seconds. He's like, you know what, on paper this sounded good, but I don't know. And he's like, yeah, what were you thinking you were gonna do here? He's like, I thought you could just like press a button and we
might print someone out. All right. Yeah. We're running out of time here. We've had a lot of fun, gentlemen.
I'm telling you, his dad told him that the reason Bruce are special is because like they got a gift and all the humans and everybody else, they're dumb. They just break things. They don't fix things. There's no mechanics on Earth. And then he finds a human being and that human being also can fix a car. He's like, I didn't know you guys fix cars too. I thought only we fix cars. He's like, no, man, that's what we're doing here. We're trying to stop you guys.
Stupid? Or is he just stupid? Because it feels like the brutes are not stupid, right? Because it's like the Atriox is a brute. Like, he knows what's up. He's like a Genghis Khan type.
According to the Halo fan wiki, they're not like the brightest bulbs in the Covenant like deck. Well, whatever.
I mean, I think the only way he's going to do it is he's going to have to find the humanity.
Yeah, he needs to meet Pilot
to...
Man. He meets Pilot Man. Pilot Man's like, I love my machines just as much as you love yours. My socket wrench, too. He's like, you don't use this tool for killing and destruction? He's like, no, we use it to build.
Oh, here's what you do. Well, what you do, yes, I think he meets Pilot Man.
Let's say Pilot Woman, just so there's
he meets Pilot Woman, and the two of them are going to a wreck. And yes, I think they show up at the Halo spot where there's DNA, and he sees, like, again, they were told that they're just doing this to kill humanity or whatever.
He sees them, like, trying to, like, rescue the DNA or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he sees
including
all the species
his own
and all
DNA,
the...
including, like, the brute DNA.
I don't think he decides to help Master Chief because he realizes they're going to also kill the brutes. I think he needs to understand that this whole idea is immoral and wrong.
Yes.
So, yes, I think it is, like, I mean, as cheesy as it is, I think it is whatever.
Why is this
that...
human going to help him kill Master Chief?
No. I think they agree to, oh, you're right, because his goal
his
right
goal
now
is to stop Master Chief from blowing up the Halo. That's my point.
Maybe
right?
he's
and
lying.
I think that's a good, oh, so he lies to the human.
Yes, saying that he just wants to go home too. And then in doing so, they start sharing their, it's like enemy mind, but he's lying. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't actually just want to go home to his kid. But in doing so, he starts hearing about this lady's life and, you know, why they're fighting and whatnot. And then, you know, he can't help but be moved or whatever. And then, yes, he finds the great secret that, like, you know, his species have been killing innocent people like all over the world. And like the humans don't even want to invade or I don't know. He learns something. He learns a lesson.
OK, so all right. I like him lying to this person. I think that's
yes,
fun.
It's a strong
and
choice.
It's someone who's going to help him because they know how to get to the thing that he's going to use to stop Master Chief. Right.
Yes.
So it's some we got to figure out. We got to dig out who this
oh,
other person
okay,
is
here.
So but here. Oh, just kind of just to throw oh, one detail yeah, in yeah. there. I like that Craig doesn't have a family. He doesn't have anyone really.
Yes.
And then you would do that. She's talking about her family and then he just starts lying and more or less parroting whatever she says, like to be like, oh, I have a kid, too. Yeah, he's also in the first grade. Yeah, he blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah. He also, you know, but then like what he doesn't realize is he's accidentally teaching himself how to empathize with another person by putting in their shoes.
Yes,
and then
I was
like,
say,
oh my god, I actually care now because I can see how you're like me because I pretended to be like you.
Yes, exactly. And I think what you do is here's how you double it up is like you show his friend or whoever they have, like the guy who charges out in front of him is like, you do, like, somebody doesn't stand up for him or doesn't, like, you know, they wouldn't sacrifice each other. Like, you have some sort of situation where a fellow brute, like, is not going to sacrifice his life to help him or whatever. You would do, like, they get in, like, a kind of last stand because, yes, he's trying to get a ship because his plan is to freaking fly and catch up with Master Chief and, like, you know, kill him or whatever. So that's what they're doing. During this, like, stand where they're getting attacked and they work together, she, like, takes a bullet for him and says, like, you know, get home to your kids. You know, it's, like, really, and, like, he lied. So, like, she sacrificed for him and he's got nothing. And then, you know, he sees how, you know, this is a really good person who is, like, they shared this thing and, like, you know, it makes him realize, like, you know, he obviously feels like he's a bad person. He didn't really, you know, he's lied and this good person, you know, sacrificed themselves for him.
And she does a thing too at some point where he's like, what can you tell me of the Master Chief? And she's like, oh, John, he's got kids.
Well, he cares about her family now. And he realizes that if they win, her family's going to die. So, and he's not going to let that happen because she was willing to die for his family, right?
That makes sense. Like, and his, then his fake lie.
Yes.
I like that. So, here's what I, so this is the other thing I would do. I would do that Craig likes to fix things, but as a brute in this mercenary army, he is told he can only destroy things, right?
So,
he's Mr. Fix-It at the Halo, right? They're like, hey, Craig, my gun is, you know, I need new firmware for it. So, he downloads the firmware for their gun. Or, like, you're like, hey, Craig.
Every time he tries to fix something, his commander goes, no fixing, only destroy. He just breaks the gun more. He's like, that's not okay, whatever, that's not efficient. Okay, sure.
So yes, okay, so here's what you do. So here's your first act. Your first act is Craig is Mr. Fix-It in the brute army, right? And again, like, there's like the, and it might not even necessarily be about him being a brute, but he's like a lower muckety muck brute. And then there's like the higher, like, there's the people who are in charge who are like, hey, dumbass, stay in your lane, right? Like, and so his lane is your frontline infantry, you know, like your cannon fodder, stop doing this, right? And so then you would do, he, again, like, some big piece of, they can't figure, oh, this is great too. They literally can't figure out how to prime the Halo for charging, right? Or whatever. There's something. And then Craig shows up, fucking War Master, what's his face? Or like the, some number two henchman that's like really smart. And Craig fixes the thing. And then he makes this other guy look like a fucking idiot. And so then this person, like, as punishment for Craig, sends Craig out on the front line. Like, it's like, you're going to be like, oh, Master Chief's here. Let's send in Craig, right? Like, hey, asshole. Like, this is the last time you show him because everyone knows if you go up against Master Chief, you're dead, right? So then you have this great scene where it's Craig and the other brutes that are going to be in the front line against Master Chief, and they're all terrified. Like, he's going to fucking kill all of us, man. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And Craig's the one who calms them, right? But then they all go out, and then ever sure enough, they all get wasted, and he gets his bell rung. He's like, man, I fucking hate Master Chief so much. This guy sucks, right?
Yes.
And then you would do, yes, the person he meets is a mechanic for the USMC or whatever the Master Chief people are, right? And her unit has gone down, right? Like, her helicopter got shot down, right? And she thinks that Craig is this big, powerful warrior, but Craig's, like, you know, in over his head or whatever. And so she's, like, this, like, scrappy special forces mechanic or something like that.
And she knows where there's a crash bomber, like, a powerful ship that she wants to use to help out, and, like, she can get them home. Like, again, because he pretends to be, like, a deserter or whatever. And that's the goal, is to get there. And they're going to go behind it, and they're essentially moving across the battlefield to get to this ship.
Okay, so you have, so she's like his Jiminy Cricket, basically. Like, the conscience, essentially. So then the two of them are making their way across the world, and they're going to, like, he's pretending to... Now, do you, okay, so...
You get, like, a flood attack. You know, there's this stuff in the middle.
The, yeah,
you know,
so, the so they go on an adventure across the Halo while Halo Infinite is going on in the background, essentially, is what you're saying.
Yes.
And along the way, he's learning about humanity, right? Because he's pretending to be this, oh, here's what you could do. 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 She actually was meeting a traitor... Brute.
Ah, yes.
A defector who's been, who got killed, right? And, you know, is, so she mistakes him for this defector, right? And he's like, oh, so he's literally about to, so then that's why she's like, you must be my contact. Like, come on, we got to go over here. And he realizes, like, aha, like, this is like, you know, I can use this machine we're going to go to. Like, again, if it's some, like, pulse laser cannon on the other side of the planet, right? And she's like, we can use it.
She's got to get this thing to Master Chief, which is exactly what he wants. He's like, perfect. Like, I will help her. I will go get this weapon or this ship, fly to Master Chief. And then when he's like, oh, thank you, fellow. Like, you know, thank you, guy who helped us. I will stab him in the throat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's his plan.
Yes, I will betray them and then kill Master Chief. And then, like,
and I'll be a hero again. Yeah.
Okay, so then along the way, the two of them are watching each other's back. You got him. You got this badass space commando lady. And, you know, she's learning about him. And she, you know, is beginning to trust him. And, you know, like, he's lying, pretending he has a family. Like, she kills a couple of fucking brutes, you know, like, and he's feeling conflicted.
Last of Us 2 style.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like that morally gray Last of Us 2 universe that we're in, man. Wow. And so they get to, and yes, let's say it's some high-tech stealth bomber, right? That there's rumors of a stealth ship that can fly, you know, undetected, and then they're going to be able to give a Master Chief air support, which is perfect for him because it means he can then just fucking kill her and blow up Master Chief. And that's
yeah, and that ship won't be in multiplayer. It'd be completely unbalanced. Don't worry, everybody. Like, it's cool.
It'll be a DLC.
Yeah, it'll be DLC.
So then you do that. I think, yes, you're right. I think your midpoint is she takes a bullet for him, you know, which no one else was willing to do, right? Like, you know, but then you do. He saves her life, and the two of them make it to the ship together, and then they are flying and barreling towards Master Chief, because you got to get him to that moment where she's at the controls and he's got the gun, and it's like, is he gonna shoot her or not, right?
Yeah, I like that. I like keeping her around.
Yes, and then you do, basically he gets caught, and he's hesitating, and in that moment of hesitation he gets caught, right? Like, because he, you do, like, along the way, like, maybe he gets separated from her at one point, and he winds up with his lost unit of brutes who are like, remember your duty, we've got to do this whole thing, right? So he's got that conflicted loyalty thing going on. And then, you would do that. So in that moment, like, he's about to shoot her, and then maybe, like, you know, their ship gets hit, or, like, you know, she hears a noise and turns around and sees him, right? And then the ship, you know, like, they get into a fight, or, like, they crash land, or she kicks him out of the fucking airplane, right? And he lands, and, you know, everything's all for naught, right? He's truly a man with no country now.
Yes, I like that he doesn't get a reconciliation with her.
Yeah, he doesn't get a reconciliation with her, right? Like, she just blasts off. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he makes the bad choice and tries.
So she goes off to help Master Chief. He gets kicked out of the plane, and then, like, even, but then her plan fails, right?
She kicks him off, and whatever her plan was, really, just to get the ship to the crew or whatever, I think he falls wounded. And, you know, literally Master Chief, you know, like, I think, like, Master Chief Warthog comes barreling through, exploding and flipping through, like, right at him, essentially.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And then he has a choice. Yeah. And then you have our ending where it's like he sits there and he realizes where he is and what's happening. And he walks over and, yes, he fixes Master Chief's Warthog and wakes him up and gets shot. And Master Chief goes flying off and does his, you know, Death Star trench run thing with the Warthog and saves the day.
So here's what I think you do. I think they are flying the ship towards where they think Master Chief is going to be. And he's got the gun raised at her and he's about to waste her. But then Master Chief's not there, right? So this whole crazy thing was for naught. And then she realizes that he was about to betray her. And then, so, like, you know, they have the fight and he gets kicked out of the airlock. And she's, like, basically going to go, like, do a suicide run to blow. She's going to take one last desperate shot at the fucking thing, you know. And so, like, he gets knocked out of the thing and he's like, I have to, like, you know, it's like everything's hanging in the balance now. Well, maybe not. Maybe that's a little too much.
I like the idea that he wants to find Master Chief. And then at the end, yes, I like that she shows up. They get to the place Master Chief's supposed to be. There's a big battle raging. There's bodies everywhere. Master Chief's not there. Mm-hmm. And yes, maybe she's like, oh my God, we lost or whatever. And then he's still, again, I like the final moment is like he's wounded and kicked off the ship and he's still.
You need Master Chief there because that has to be the pressure for why he's going to kill her.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
right?
Like,
needs to be there. You're right, you're right. Anyway, so yes, he gets kicked out. He falls down. I don't know exactly what your low point is because I feel like you want a nice long Dark Night of the Soul moment before he has his, like, you know, like he decides he's got to go continue his mission and, you know, or whatever. Like, you know, he's got to stop.
Tough because I kind of like her being around. That was kind of like they're dying.
I feel like she, I mean, like, I don't know if it's Fridgy or not. Like, I'm just, like, I feel
what,
like.
Dying?
Yeah, her dying. Like, I feel like it needs, like, to be.
Yeah, I think she's
it's war. Like, but I don't think it's a sacrifice moment. I think what happens is they get into a fight on this fucking ship, right? She comes at him, you know, and they're battling each other. And in the middle of them battling each other, they turn off the stealth on the ship and the ship gets fucking blown out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, and then he lands and, like, again, he's like, oh my God, like, what have I done? You know, like, that's Craig's low moment is like the.
I think, you know, what I don't want to lose, I like in terms of what it is emotionally. I like her. If she's dying, I like the idea of, like, I hope you get back to your family. Like, I like the lie being put into his face and the realization
that's true.
And then he realized, like, but she does have a family. Like, again, like, who am I? Like, I've done all this stuff. I'm not fighting for anything. And here is this person who is obviously finding that, like, I'm the bad guy in this situation. And, like, I'm going to make sure her family survives. There's clearly good people and we're gonna kill a bunch of good people. This seems
wrong. That's true. Yeah. Okay, so then I don't exactly know what the low moment is with her if it's not, like, how, do you know what I mean? Like, then is it this fight that, or does that not make sense anymore?
I think the low moment, I don't know exactly the series of events, but I feel like her low moment is, again, if you don't have the betrayal, her low moment is they can't find Master Chief and it seems for naught.
Mm-hmm.
And they show up where he's supposed to be and who's there. Or maybe he did betray them, like, who's there? It's like Covenant and they're in the middle of a battlefield and they're surrounded and she gets wounded. And then, yes, then you have that moment. She dies. She says, you know, fine, I hope you find your family or I hope you get back safe or whatever it is, you know, despite all this. And yes, that's his look. And he's like, oh my God, what have I become or whatever. Again, you can even do that. Maybe the people who attack them, if you're going to do your thing where you're saying that he finds the covenant, they're like, remember your oath. Maybe they found Master Chief. Mm-hmm. And now the Long Dark, they're all celebrating. They're like, haha, congrats, you know, and like her body's still like over there. There's all these dead humans all around their campfire, and they have Master Chief in a cell and his broken warthog. And he's like, what have I done? And then he, you know, he fixes the warthog. And
oh, so then it's like him and his boys jump into the fucking bomber to go kill Master Chief. And then he has the change of heart and blows up the ship. And then like his last act is to repair Master Chief's warthog so that Master Chief can go off and, you know, save the world or whatever. Right. Yeah. Like that. Like, does that work?
Yeah, I think that works. I mean, again, I think some of the specifics of like how like the geography and the battle and stuff actually works. But I think on the broad scope of things, I think that's right.
Yes. Cool. Yes.
That's pretty. Yeah. Yeah. I think Greg's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like Craig.
I don't know why he's like so sad at the beginning, but I think he does a good. I think, you know.
Okay, so our human mechanic. Let's give her a name. Like, what's a Halo name?
Halo name?
Like, what's a, like, Matt, like, Cortana?
Cortana. And he goes, before she dies, he goes, my middle name's Cortana.
I actually know. Her name is Cortana. And then she's like, yeah, I know. I get that a lot. Like, she's not the only Cortana in the universe.
There you go. Yeah. Siri. She's Siri.
Okay, so Siri or Cortana and Cortana with two A's at the end is this space mechanic, badass commando lady. And okay, so yeah, so they go on the adventure. Yes, your midpoint is she sacrifices herself for him in the midst of like what she doesn't realize is like his betrayal of her. I guess it could be one way that you play it, right?
Yeah, I think that could probably work.
Yeah. Because he chickens out, right? Like, because it's like, remember your oath, right? And then like in that moment, like, so he essentially leads them into a trap.
Yes.
That he knows is going to be a trap. And then in the middle of like, you know, he's supposed to lead her here and then shoot her in the back. And then he doesn't have the guts to do it. And then the gunfire erupts from everywhere and she shoves him away and gets shot.
Yes.
That's the moment, right? And then she's like, you know, like, I hope you get back to your family. And then he's like, oh my God. And then they're like, haha, we did it. Yeah, we're awesome. And then so he goes off with his guys. He blows up the ship. That's like kind of your like finale action scene. And then he lands and he sees fucking Master Chief, right? And he's got this moment. And then, yes, he saves Master Chief and, you know, at the sacrifice of his own life.
And then he feels like he's done right for the first time in his life. And then he dies.
All right. Yeah.
That's a, you know. For people who don't know anything about Halo and base it off a meme, I think that's not half bad. I gotta say.
I feel for Craig, man.
I think that turned
out
okay. Yeah.
I like this. Craig's redeemed himself.
I don't think Craig ever had to redeem himself. Everyone loves Craig.
Craig never did any wrong.
Craig did nothing wrong.
So.
Okay.
There we go. Microsoft will not take this, but that's fine. Microsoft doesn't need to take this.
I'll say this. That is better than any Halo movie they've yet to come out with. Because they haven't done it yet. So you know what? Until they finally do it, that's what you all got. You got the Craig the movie.
All right.
I think it's pretty good.
Indeed.
Well, look, this is the last week of Max Fun Drive. So to everyone listening, thank you so much for being part of this show's audience and for being part of the Max Fun Network if you're supporting it or just listening. Like, you're supporting us just by listening. I want you to know that. But if you want, you can take that extra step and join as a Max Fun member and contribute materially to this show. And you can do so at MaximumFun.org/join. Either way, we are grateful for your listenership and your support. Just thanks, everyone. Thanks for letting us do what we do. Thanks for listening. Will, how's that fan art front looking?
We got an awesome piece of fan art from Jenny Pan, who did a really cool Miss Wonderful poster for us way back in the day. But she did an awesome piece of fan art for a tiny house that is like a super creepy interior of the house. I love it. It's great. You can see it on our Facebook group, bit.ly/storybreakfb. You can check out all sorts of other cool stuff and cool fan art on our Twitter at twitter.com/RJStorybreak.
All right. This was a very fun one. I laughed so hard I cried. That middle part, I was dying at how, I don't know what it was. Something just tickled the old funny bone there. But I had a good time. Hope you all folks had a good time too. MaximumFun.org/join. Thanks, Maximum Fun, for being our podcast network. Thanks, Chad Ellis, for editing this podcast. Thanks to my co-hosts, Will Campos and Matt Arnold. My name is Freddie Wong.
Thanks, Freddie. I'm Will Campos.
My name is Matt Arnold. And did you know that according to the Webster Dictionary, the term Halo effect is when a certain console that's the worst console seems good because they have Halo games on it. That's right. Sony for life. PlayStation 5.
Oh, boy.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.